We have just about 24 hours left. Please continue on the way. At 9 p.m. tonight, the Zendo will be closed until tomorrow morning. Continue your practice by getting a good night's sleep. And then wake up, and we will have a few more precious hours tomorrow morning to complete this retreat. Again, thank you, one and all, for your precious participation, supporting and being supported together. We will bring this retreat to a wonderful close. This morning, I will continue with the seventh section of Po Shan's work on admonitions for those unable to arouse the doubt. If you find some nourishment in Po Shan's teaching, please take it to heart. If not, simply continue in your practice. Perhaps someday what he has to say may be of value. Number seven, the disease of acting out, I have called it. Quote, if you are unable to arouse the doubt when practicing Zen, you may think, eyes see, ears hear, the tongue speaks, the nose smells odors, hands grasp, feet run. All this is the true nature of the spiritual self. You then conclude that you are enlightened and go about eyeballing people, bending an ear, pointing at this and kicking at that, thinking it's all the personification of Buddha Dharma. What comes next, people? But this too is simply your wavering mind. It is not Zen. Of old, such nonsense has been compared to temporary insanity, or likened to sitting in the master's formal chair with a frightening scowl frozen on your face. What good will all that do when you're facing death? Even worse are those who, without the least bit of shame, transmit this stuff to the next generation and accept offerings from the faithful. If someone asks about the Dharma, they yell or let out a big laugh. They have never truly inquired themselves, so they cannot cut through their samsaric life root. In such a situation, even countless good deeds become the handiwork of the devil, and all because they fail to recognize that the state they have reached is far from final. Po Shan is finding his stride. Once again, a few places, maybe some comment is necessary. If you are unable to arouse the doubt when practicing Zen, you may think, eyes see, ears hear, the tongue speaks, the nose smells odors, hands grasp, feet run. All this is the true nature of the spiritual self. this is probably the kind of language that was going around at the time. And so Po Shan just kind of quotes it here. If you do a little homework, one of the interesting things is many of the quotes that he gives people saying, if you remember in the last one, section 6, body and mind may be dependent on fleeting conditions. However, within all of this, there is one thing that... Right? These are actually paraphrases, often slightly corrupted over the centuries, but they're paraphrases from the record of Rinzai. They were actually dynamic and extremely powerful expressions of the living Buddha Dharma. But obviously over the centuries, these living and dynamic expressions of the Buddha Dharma became what I call performance Zen, or acting out Zen. Huh? They became, because they were so great, set expressions that people then went around mouthing and imitating. Where, I ask you, is the fault? This morning in one-on-one, Jack made the observation that this doubt, literally that's what the word is, doubt sensation, may be better expressed in English for the Western audience as perhaps something like hunger. And it's not an accurate translation, but the point is well taken. Yes, it is a doubt that is a genuine hunger for that which we cannot be without. But how easily it can be taken up and turned into wonderful words. That is what Po Shan is picking up on here. So again, he gives that quote, all this is the true nature of the spiritual self. And Po Shan continues, you then conclude, following out this process of ecstatic thought maybe, you then conclude that you're enlightened and go about acting, well, he simply says, go about eyeballing people. It's hard to translate, but it means the Zenistic act, which, again, by this time in Ming Dynasty China, had become a kind of literally performance Zen, and still continues to this day, for example, in what is called Dharma combat and things like that, where there are set phrases and set actions that one is expected to perform in certain situations, a kind of ritualistic, performative Zen. So, look, listen, right? So, oh, you know, he's giving himself, he's completely listening, he's completely looking, this kind of stuff. So that's what he's making fun of here, huh? Once again, you may conclude that you're enlightened and go about, I put in brackets, acting Zen-ish, eyeballing people, bending an ear, pointing at this and kicking at that. Again, in many koans, there's the example of kicking over the pitcher or even the one I gave in the very beginning, ever since I was kicked by my master, I haven't been able to stop laughing. Kicking at that, thinking it's all the personification of the Buddha Dharma. I ask you, is it or isn't it? And then he continues with great but razor-sharp compassion. But this, too, is simply your wavering mind. It is not Zen. Of old, he now pulls out the other sword. Of old, such nonsense has been compared to temporary insanity, or likened to sitting in the master's formal chair with a frightening scowl frozen on your face. Again, performance Zen. It's a very formal kind of a chair that a Zen master will sit in when he gives a Taisho lecture. And here Poshan is likening to the monk climbing up on that chair, maybe when no one's around, right? Sitting there and then, you know, imitating how he sees the Zen master, you know. Poshan. What good will all that do when you're facing death? Again, he's trying to arouse these monks out of their silly sleep. Even worse, oh boy, no holds barred. Even worse are those who, without the least bit of shame, transmit this stuff to the next generation and accept offerings from the faithful. If someone asks about the Dharma, the truth, they yell, right? Oh, you know, a Zen shout, right? Which again, where does that come from? Well, the Locus Classicus is record of Rinzai. Ha! Or ka in Japanese. Huh? He used to do that very often when someone was asking for clarification. Something which just rips through any kind of concept or image. Huh? It has no meaning. It's simply the universe expressing itself. Huh? But of course, here it's become imitation. So again, as Poshan says, they yell or let out a big laugh. Again, often used, again, it's even the focus of one koan in the Blue Cliff Record. Huh? Ha, letting out the laugh from the bowels of the universe. Again, a marvelous Zen expression gone awry. Next, Poshan pins the tail on the donkey. They have never truly inquired themselves, so they cannot cut through their samsaric life route. In such a situation, even countless good deeds become the handiwork of the devil. And all because they fail to recognize that the state they have reached is far from final. Poshan is not denying that they may have some realization. They may have sat through many things. But it is far from final. And when we get entangled in that, it becomes dangerous, deadly indeed. Thus his admonishments. Again, in a word, here he is striking out at what could be called performance Zen, the disease of imitating Zenistic acts. It is, in a word, the death of Zen. The next three sections, actually, the final three, 8, 9, and 10, which is the last one, in a sense, he's reworking this theme and jabbing at it from different angles. Are there any questions about section 7, the disease of acting out? If not, please feel free to stand up and stretch for a minute.